Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday, here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is unbelievable. All of my guests are going to share thoughts and ideas that you may find unbelievable. My first guest is a neuroscientist who specializes in the relationship dynamics that result from the differences in men and women's brains. We'll discuss her latest book, The Male Brain. My second guests challenge everything you can think about Howard Hughes' life. It turns out that Howard Hughes may not have been the crazy old man who died that we all thought he was. In fact, they've got some new facts revealed in their latest book, Boxes, The Secret Life of Howard Hughes. My third guest has a plan to transform education and eradicate the rampant dropout rate that makes our public schools, many of our public schools, experience today. We're going to talk about his latest manifesto, which is titled Officially Pathetic. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Dr. Luann Brezendine, MD, is a practicing clinician, best-selling author, public speaker, and media commentator who specializes in the relationship dynamics that result from the neurobiology of the male and female brains. She completed her degree in neurobiology at UC Berkeley, just up the road from us. She graduated from Yale Medical School, and she did her intern residency at Harvard Medical School. She served on both faculties at Harvard University and the University of California at San Francisco. Now at UCSF, Dr. Brezendine pursues alternative or active clinical teaching, writing, and research activities. Her first book was titled The Female Brain. It's been translated into 26 different languages. We're going to discuss her latest book, The Male Brain. Welcome to the show, Dr. Luann. How are you today?
Hi, nice to be here with you and your audience, and a Southern California audience at that, which is certainly where I grew up.
Well, we're so glad to have you on the show. Of course, anybody who's talking about the brain has a home right here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, so thanks so much for being our guest. Now, it's interesting, I find you quip about it at the beginning of your book as well. When you talk about the subject of the male brain, everybody says, oh, this is going to be a really short book, might even be a pamphlet. When I told my wife you were coming on the show, she said, oh boy, this is going to be a really short conversation. But in fact, reading your book, there's a lot to know about the male brain. Now, let me just give you a real-life example, Dr. Luann. I mean, there are times when my wife looks at me with this look on her face as like, what is he thinking? And she just can't fathom it. She doesn't understand what I'm thinking or why I think about it. And Tommy, my producer, his head is nodding over here as well. But in fact, the brain and men's brains and women's brains are wired differently. And they just sometimes just can't relate to the same set of facts. So you're an expert in this area. What are some of the differences between the male and the female brain?
So Billy, let's go back to the very beginning. You know, at the moment of conception, the male, you guys get an XY chromosome. We females get an XX. And then for the first 8 weeks of life, our fetal life, our brains are more like female-type brain circuits until the tiny testicles in the male start pumping out huge amounts of testosterone at 8 weeks of fetal life, marinating the brain and changing the circuits into the male brain. By the time you guys are born, you have a male brain.
Okay. Now, that makes sense, and that's an easy explanation. Even I can understand that. But my understanding was when we hit puberty that the testosterone really starts pumping, and you've got some very graphic examples of just how much testosterone we are pumping at that age. So, I mean, so it begins at birth, And then we just develop differently there. Do you see differences in the development between boys and girls as they're growing up from the toddler age to the time they go to preschool?
Yes, of course. Basically, what we know is that about 90% of little boys do more of what's called rough and tumble play. You know, they're out there chasing, come on, guys, let's get the enemy, and that kind of thing. Where the little girls are sitting doing what we call relationship play, like you be the daddy, I be the mommy, or you be the doctor, I'll be the patient. And they will do that a long time, whereas the little boys might do it for a moment. Then they're up and off and running and, you know, tackling each other. It is not because boys are being bad. And I think that in classroom situations where you've got, you know, the boys' behavior, female teachers, which are often the preschool and young grade school teachers, also see that the boys are making a lot of disruptive activity in the room, but actually they are following the mandates of their brain and their body wiring for movement. And there have been a lot of studies on even male mammals and primates and human little boys that imperative to move is very important. And actually, it's been shown that wiggling boys, they do what's called embodied cognition. Wiggling boys actually learn better. So it's really important to understand some of the different wiring if we're going to educate our boys really well who are falling behind in the classroom. We need to understand that. So that's what's happening in the little boy. And then you know what happens, of course, about 9 years old. If your female audience wants to read just one page in this book to get the bottom line, it's page 33, because it tells you the big story, which is that between 9 years old and 15 years old, what happens is the testosterone level increases 200% in the boys. It would be like a 9-year-old boy drinking a cup of beer, and then by the time he's 14 or 15, it'd be he's guzzling almost a gallon or two.
I mean, that's an incredible graphic. We're talking to Dr. Lou Anne Bresendine, everybody. I love that example that you gave, and that, and we'll come to another one a little bit later, which is called the man trance, but we'll come to that in just a few minutes. The testosterone that kicks in, even as a young boy, you talk about little boys wiggling and we learn better and so forth that way. How much of that is culture and how much of that is actually in our nature? That's the big question, because girls play these, as you say, relationship-type games. Isn't that just because, as a culture, we expect the girls to do that?
So two things on that. You know, we have, Billy, we have male and female brains are more alike than they are different. After all, come on, we are the same species.
Sure.
But then, of course, the male and female evolutionarily have been designed and refined by Mother Nature over many, many, many hundreds of thousands of years to do slightly different tasks. The female is going to have the babies, carry the babies, and nurture and keep helpless infants alive, which is no easy task.
Mm-hmm.
And males are going to need to go out, search out the females to reproduce with, and then take care of the nest and their family. So we have different divisions of labor which have required the evolution of slightly different brains. However, that culture and the way we're born in, say, the year 2011, those babies are going to have a lot different environment to grow up in than they had hundreds of thousands of years ago. And so the brain, 50% of the brain, gets created by how you're raised, what experiences, good and bad experiences, you had in childhood. For example, if you are trained to play the piano and you start playing the piano 2, 3, 4 hours a day, brain circuits for playing the piano get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like pumping iron. Sometimes they'll look at the violin player's brains, and that area for violin playing is 8 times larger than in someone who doesn't play. So the environment and what we train our kids to do builds those brain circuits. So the nature-nurture debate is dead because all of the nurture becomes part of our brain circuit. So you're correct. If you're a little boy and you're encouraged to do rough and tumble things, you can increase that natural propensity of a little boy. If you're a little girl and you're told you're not supposed to run around and play, you can, you know, change the propensity of that little girl to do that. So there's a big effect of environment, at least 50%, and the hormones and the genes and the brain circuit of the biology is the other 50%.
I see. We're talking to Dr. Lou Anne Bresendine, everybody. The Male Brain is her latest book, and I'm glad you brought up culture, because here's something that has been troubling me. You know, since the 1960s, we've sort of turned gender roles upside down, you know, with the women's movement and everything else. Now we have a society of really empowered women who think that just about anything is possible. So in that process, have we made men obsolete? And if not obsolete, at least confused and emasculated?
Well, you know, you and I are probably about the same age, because I mean, I was at UC Berkeley in the early 70s and part of the feminist movement, and all of my girlfriends in our late teens and early 20s, we said when we had boys, we were going to raise them with gender neutral toys, and we were going to raise these sensitive boys, and our future daughters-in-law would thank us for raising these sensitive husbands for them, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Of course, until we had our own boys, that was a rude awakening. I remember my son grabbing the doll I'd given him for Christmas by her torso and then using her long legs as a spear, saying that. So it quickly became a weapon. So what, that whole generation of women, of which I'm a part of, we had ideas that we were going to have, because we believed that it was a unisex brain, and we believed in those days that culture created gender, that culture created the boy or the girl to behave in that way. Well, that's partially true, but only partially true. The biology has become more and more evident as research has marched on since the 70s. We've learned about genes, about hormones, about the structure of the brain, and that gender difference is at least half, but not the whole story. So it's very important, and I think men have been gag-ordered. you know, men have not been allowed to say anything about male or female difference or gender difference for fear of being called a sexist pig or something, which, of course, you know, that gag order has basically made the Institute of Medicine has had to come out with two big manifests in the last 10 years trying to get researchers who were raised in my generation to study gender differences in medicine, because every cell in our body is either male or female. For example, I mean, every kidney cell in your body, Billy, is a male cell. Every cell in my kidney, for example, is female. And transplant surgeons are finding that you can get better results by transplanting a male kidney to a male.
Oh, that's fascinating. We're talking to Dr. Lou Anne Bresendine, everybody. The Male Brain is her book. And I'm going to switch gears on you here, Dr. Lou Anne, if I can, please. Tell me the answer to this question. Is it true what they say? All men think about is sex.
Well, you know, Billy, there's that old thing. But, and for example, you know, when a man catches a glimpse of a voluptuous female with large breasts, a small waist, a young female walking down the beach in your Ventura Beach.
You betcha.
Her bikini, his brain has a chemical reaction. And that area of the brain for sexual pursuit sort of takes over his brain and body momentarily. His eyes are following her, and he may lose focus. So that Mother Nature has wired his brain to be able to do that. And I try to have women put on male-colored glasses by telling them the following story. It's as if for us females, a beautiful hummingbird flashes by, and our attention goes to that momentarily, and then it's gone, and we flash back to what we're doing. We may lose our focus for a moment, but it doesn't mean that the guy necessarily is going to go off and chase that female or going to leave us for that other female. Because female-female competition, you know, is about keeping your man, right?
Right.
And so we find it very offensive and actually threatening to see our guy always ogling other females or be in that man trance of looking at those large female breasts or whatever it is for that young female. But what women need to understand is the male brain is wired to do that. His visual circuits, his whole brain is wired to at least track that, because all of a man's life, even to his 80s and 90s, that will catch his attention.
Sure.
After all, men can have, you can be fertile up till the very last moment. And so Mother Nature made it that way, Billy.
Yeah, just ask Michael Douglas. He will be glad to tell you. Now, describe for my listeners what you call the man trance, because that is a humorous anecdote that I found in your book. I loved that.
We joke about the man trance, which is just like, for example, if there were a group of us standing in an elevator and a woman with a low-cut cleavage with very large bosoms walks into that elevator, right? The man probably first thing is not going to be to look at her face, but it's to be like man trance straight to the breast. It's when a woman says, hi, guy, I'm up here. Hello.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Luann, we've got a caller. Shauna from Camarillo is calling in. Shauna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for calling in. You have a question for Dr. Luann?
Yes, I do. Well, I have a statement regarding what she's talking about.
Go for it.
Women.
Thanks, Shauna,
same.
For calling. We appreciate your call.
I love the subject you're talking about, and I'm going to get your book. I'm a neurologist. And come to find out, women do just as much looking as men do.
Is that right? Women
yes.
look like they look as much as men do? Is that
yes.
Is that age specific? I need you to grow out of it at a certain age?
Right. They do. And when they look at they show women like pictures of pornographic pictures or sexual activity in the lab, females actually focus as much as men do on the sexual act and the sexual organs as the males do. So they do the same looking when you're watching a sexual act, which is a fascinating thing in the human sexuality research area that is found in the last few years. Isn't that right, Sean? It's very interesting how
the
females will look a lot.
Down the street, too.
Well, now, wait a minute, ladies. Wait a minute, ladies. I got to stop you right here and question you, because why is porn so popular among men? You would think that porn would be equally popular among women.
That's different. Women, I think, are more into the physical rather than just the visuals.
All right, so women do not live vicariously like we men do, but nonetheless, you say that they're attracted to the visual images of it happening. You would think that there would be more women watching.
Well, we watch them physically. I don't think we look at the magazines. I notice with a lot of my girlfriends over the past 20 years, as we're going down the street, we look as much as the men do, and we visualize as much as they do, but I don't think we look at magazines. We look at the real thing.
Oh, you're going for the real McCoy. I like that. Don't sample the pages,
women,
sample the real thing.
Women get more practical. Exactly. But, of course, the porn industry, the visual circuitry in the male brain is very connected up to his sexual pursuit area mm-hmm. and into his libido and to sexual mm-hmm. function. And so that they found that actually males can get very stimulated sexually by just looking at the visual. Females need tactile. They like visual too, but they like a lot of tactile. They like cuddling. They like a lot more physical things in order for foreplay. So
exactly.
That's
what we visualize with their bodies, their shoulders, and how they're going to hold us, how strong they are. Are they protective?
Oh, my goodness. Ladies, I'm getting all steamy over here. We're going to have to leave it there. Shauna, thank you.
What guys have to know is that because of Valentine's Day is that females may take a little cuddling to get their engine running, so to speak, where the guys is already running because he's visually already seen what he needs to see, right?
Gosh. All right. Well, I'm clearly outnumbered on this call. Shauna, thank you so much for the call. I greatly appreciate it.
A little deeper, Billy, than you were intending.
No, this is great. Shauna, thanks for the call. I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And Shauna, I don't believe how quickly the time goes by. We've been talking, Dr. Luann, I can't believe how quickly the time goes by. We've been talking about your male book, the book, The Male Brain. You can see how flustered I am by this whole thing. It's just incredible. Thank you so much for being our guest. If people want to learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
They can go to drluann.com.
drluann.com.
The Male Brain.
The Male Brain. I love it.
The Male Brain.
Dr. Luann, you're a wonderful radio guest. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you down the road.